Hello, my name is Sean Markovic. I am talking today about increasing herbaceous perennial stock plant production of Salvia pacophylla and Osteospermum avalanche with applications of three plant growth regulators. I'm with Colorado State University and I work under Dr. Jim Klett. So a little background on these plants. These are Plant Select plants, and Plant Select is an organization that is Colorado State University, Denver Botanic Gardens, and the Colorado Green Industry. They all have a nice collaboration where they get to recommend plants that grow really well in our Rocky Mountain climates, so hot and dry with a lot of sunlight. So Salvia pacophylla Mojave Sage is the cultivar that we looked at, along with Osteospermum avalanche. These plants are beautiful in the landscape, but the problem is in the greenhouse, these plants that do really well in these hot, dry areas, you put them in a perfect condition to grow, and they don't want to. So we talk to different growers. About once a year, we get on a Skype meeting and talk anywhere from 8 to 12 growers about some of their production problems, what plants they are, what exactly they're having problems with. These two plants came up, I think, in 2016. So they were on our radar, and the problems that they were having were with Salvia pacophylla, the number of cuttings per stock plant. So number of cuttings per bench space, you know, square foot. They just weren't getting enough to be economically viable. When they did grow them out, after a few months, they would turn really woody. They wouldn't get nice juvenile cuttings. And when they went to the mist bench, they just wouldn't get a high enough rooting percentage to make it a crop they would want to grow more of. For the Osteospermum avalanche, what you saw there was just lack of cuttings, mainly because of the quality of cuttings. It would go to flower pretty quick, and you just wouldn't have the same numbers that you would really want to of these nice juvenile cuttings that you think of when you're trying to propagate. There's also disease present that they said we didn't really see any of that, and it might have been our irrigation schedule, which I'll talk about, but basically they had some root rot problems on their benches. So what we looked at was plant growth regulators. Ethifon, which is basically an ethylene which was Verve, commercially or also known as Florel. That was supposed to keep things a little more vegetative, not let these plants go to a reproductive state. The cytokinin, also known as Configure commercially, that would help also in branching, so you wouldn't have so much apical dominance. You'd have more lateral branches, hence more cuttings you can take, and hopefully get more cuttings per square foot. And then the last thing we looked at was fascination commercially, which is that cytokinin, but also a gibberellic acid. So it should branch them, and then gibberellic acid's known to elongate, so hopefully you can get more cuttings overall with those. We looked at two rates each, and these rates were all determined basically by what was in the literature, what growers recommended, and then my own personal experience using these different plant growth regulators. The experiment setup, we looked at different, we worked in the Colorado State horticultural greenhouses. The day-night temperatures, you can see there, 62 to 70, 58 to 68, pretty standard. We used number one containers because that's what the growers really recommended for us. The media we looked at was a pinstrip. For those of you unfamiliar, that's pretty much straight peat moss that they produce. And the reason we picked that one is earlier studies at Colorado State indicated that actually helped increase the vegetative growth of a lot of other perennials. The irrigation, we did a drip irrigation for these 3 days a week, and overall it was about 3/4 of a gallon per week per plant that you'd find. We did a 20-10-20 fertilizer at 200 parts per million nitrogen. That was a constant feed. And all that is right out of the grower, so that's where we got a lot of that information. So we want to be as applicable as possible in our setup, but also look at some good variables. We got plugs in from Gully Greenhouse in 72s, and that was a nice uniform, consistent grower for us. The perennial taxa bench setup, we had one genus per bench, so it was set up in a completely randomized design, but with some blocking. And the reason we did that is because if we were to totally do a randomized, when I was going to apply, I don't think I could just apply to one without getting it on others. So if we grouped them in threes like you see on the screen, that way I can just do a row of three plants with one treatment without getting it cross-contaminated. It also just helped out with our irrigation system, kind of making it a little easier to see if there was emitters falling out and whatnot. So we looked at this, and we're looking at these variables. We needed data, obviously. So we looked at the initial heights and widths to make sure that all the plants were, there was no variability to start with, that all the plants are pretty similar. Then we went with monthly. For 4 months, we looked at heights and widths, the number of cuttings we could get from each plant, the fresh weight and dry weight of the materials. So we had a cutting fresh weight and a cutting dry weight. Basically, we took the total number and then divided by the number of cuttings to get individual weights off of that. And we had a final. So after our fourth harvest, we let the plants grow out for one more month, did a height and a width analysis like we had been, and then did a total top harvest of fresh weight and dry weight analysis. And we also did a root system rating just to see if the treatments affected the root systems at all. Main reason for that is the plants were dead and we were going to rip them out. Might as well see if the roots were affected, see if we can find anything there. Data was collected monthly for 4 months, and all treatments were applied 2 weeks after. So applied on the 1st, harvested, and did all data collection on the 15th. And that was a pretty consistent 2 weeks after. So the cuttings, one thing we wanted to make sure is that we were very consistent. Salvia pacophylla here on the left and osteosperm on the right. These pictures are from Gully Greenhouse. They give these to their cutters. That way it's very consistent for them. And we just wanted to make sure that people weren't coming back to us and saying, well, what kind of cuttings did you get? We could show them these pictures and say we tried to stick to that as close as possible. So we have this stock plant study, and we're going to recommend this to growers, right? But if it affects the rooting in a negative way and they can't make money in the end, we're going to look like we have no idea what we're doing. So we did a secondary rooting study. The variables were the same as the stock plant treatments, so it's just that PGR treatments, those six plus a control. What we looked at was just after 4 weeks, if it was rooted or not for rooting percentage, and then we used Jiffy Performa plugs. If you've never used them, they're really cool. They have a little polymer in them that like hold together, so you can count the roots along the edge really easily. So we just looked to see how many were touching the sides, how many visible roots you could count up. The experiment setup for the secondary was in the Hort Center again, air temperature 68 to 75 day and night. The root zone temperature was 75 on those heating pads. And we went with a timing system of 10 seconds for every 15 minutes for the first week, then 10 seconds every 30 minutes for the second week, then 10 seconds every 60 minutes for the third and fourth week. And that's just a normal, what we got from the growers, how they would kind of walk back their mist as well. So, results. Salvia pacophylla, experiment one was August through November of 2017. Experiment two was September through December of 2018. And we saw some similar results between those. What we see here, basically fascination that cytokinin plus gibberellic acid gave you the most number of cuttings per plant for each of the experiments. Experiment two, there was a little bit more. I'm not sure why that is. There was no real temperature variability or anything like that in the greenhouse. So it just might have been those plants were a little happier than the ones the year before. But the trends were the same. So I think we're pretty confident to say that with fascination 50 and 100 parts per million, you're probably going to get more cuttings. And what we saw here was this, the mean number of cuttings that you got. You're getting 26 or 28, almost 29 cuttings per plant on average using those gibberellic acid and cytokinin as compared to about 17 for control. That's almost a 50% increase in production. So it definitely was something that we were very interested in looking at. Here's just some pictures so you can see the plants and how they were growing. That control, that's pretty much an average pachyophylla. And then the fascination, you can see with the 50 parts per million, it looks like it branched a little more. And then usually with the 100 parts per million, it definitely had that height as well as branch increase. So we looked at fresh weight because we saw a better correlation between fresh weight and the quality of the cutting than we did between dry weight and the quality of cutting. And fresh weight and dry weight were very similar throughout. You know, the heavier ones with fresh weight usually were the heavier ones with dry weight. So. But we looked at fresh weight. So the number of grams across the way, you can see here some p-values for ANOVA, 0.7 and 0.2. They were not significant. So overall, the quality was pretty much the same what we saw. and that indicated in the salvia rooting as well. Rooting percentages is pretty much the only one that really didn't root well, was the experiment two, that configure 500 parts per million, was about 50%. All the rest were in the 70 to 90% range. Those fascination treatments, 77, 70 versus 80 for the control, 77, 80 versus 73 for the control, so it's right in there. So overall, with the conclusions we can make for Salvia pacophylla, is basically with that fascination treatment of either 50 or 100 parts per million, you're going to get more cuttings. Your quality of cuttings are going to be the same. And overall, there's not going to be a lot of difference between the rooting as well. So hopefully, producers can use this product on this plant and get more cuttings overall. For Osteospermum avalanche, experiments were from September 2018 through December 2018. And then we just finished up our last experiment from March through July 2019. The experiment showed very similar to the Salvia pacophylla in that the fascination treatments were the most producing of the cuttings, producers of cuttings. So those treatments definitely showed an increase in plant growth that was vegetative. It just wasn't as, I guess, different as the Salvia, which was a large difference between the treatments. What we saw here was more like a 33%, give or take, increase in cuttings that you'll get for a number one of Osteospermum, and that's over the two different ones that were pretty similar. So here you can see the plants themselves. That control, not as branched. Once you add 50 parts per million, it branches out a little more, and that 100 parts per million definitely makes it even just a little bit more. There wasn't a huge difference on size between the 50 and the 100 parts per million fascination either. Fresh weights, just like the Salvia pacophylla, it didn't really affect the overall quality of the cuttings. Cuttings were still very good. Those p-values are way over the 0.05 alpha that we were looking at. And I think I need to start a osteospermum rooting business because we rooted everything. There was not one plant that did not root after 4 weeks. So first experiment, the three different reps, and the second experiment, all of them rooted. So overall, if you're going to get about a 33% increase in the number of cuttings and you're going to get a very good rooting percentage, another thing we can go to the growers and say, yeah, fascination is probably a very good product to be using with Osteospermum. So those two, along with a Heuchera sanguinea and a Zoschneria gerardii, which we started with, all indicated that basically something with gibberellic acid is really helping these plants to get up, grow a little bit more, branch a little bit more, and have more cuttings. So we're asking, you know, why? All right, we know it does it, but now let's get a little bit more basic, less applied. So that's where we're kind of going to from here. So we're looking at where does the gibberellic acid move to in perennials. In Arabidopsis and rice, it's been studied. We know it's more apical meristems, some in the roots, that's where the synthesis is. Also, what if we're applying this in a combination with these GAs and perennials? Does it happen? If we use it with an auxin, or we use it with a cytokinin or a ethaphon, if we use it with those, does it affect it? We found that some have an antagonistic effect, others might have a benefit. So we can look at that as well. And then basically just looking at the tip cuttings that we take off of most of these perennials, how much GA is in there? Did it move there? How did it do it? So that's kind of where we're going from here that I'll be looking at over the next year. And this is the plant we're going to be looking at, Pterocephalus depressus, which is Moroccan pincushion, and doing a little bit more hardcore analysis using HPLC mass spectrometry to actually see where those trace elements are for GA3. And because it already has a standard attached to it, we're going to look at the IBA auxin as well to see if there's a correlation between that and better rooting. Also doing some ICP-OES nutrient analysis, so looking at those as well. Doing a foliar spray versus a drench to see where things are moving, and then doing those combinations versus solo applications of PGRs. So really, we're looking at gibberellic acids and where it could go. Thank you. Any questions?
Standpoint, is this the 50% and 33% satisfactory to your growers?
Yes, it is. For the first two that I mentioned, the Heuchera and sanguinea, We recommended fascination and then the configure, and they came back and said that they were getting 25%, which they were happy with. So.
All right, let's thank him again.